Okay, let's try to get started. Someone wouldn't mind hitting the door. You can just leave a little jar. We'll let people come in. So I'm glad all of you are here with us. This is talking about what it means to do church in Richmond, which it might seem like an impossibly large question, and that's because it is sort of. But I think it's a chance for us to think about what does it mean that we are where we are, geographically, physically, in 2016, in this time. What are things we can learn and learn from each other? So just to give a little context, since there's some discussion, I want to go very quickly around the room. I'd like you to say your name, where you're born, and how long, or do you live in Richmond if you have, how long? Just so we have a little context, because this is Richmond is a place that's changed a lot, so I think it'd be interesting for us just to kind of know a bit of background. So my name is Alan, born in Winnipeg, so and then I've been hanging out Richmond more just in the last 2 years, so it's quite a new city still to my eyes, in a way.
Hi, I'm Katya, and I was born in the Philippines, and I have a whole bunch of family that lives in Richmond, named Saison, but I live in Vancouver.
Hi, I'm Jackie. I was born in China. And most of the time I'm in Ottawa, but come fly down and out to Vancouver for the past few years. This time I come here last Saturday.
Oh, okay. Okay, good to have you with us. Yeah.
Okay, my name is Melody, and I lived in Richmond. I'm from China, and I lived in Richmond for 5 years.
5 years. Okay, great.
My name is Penny Love, and I was born in Calgary. And I've lived in Richmond for 14 years.
14, okay.
My name is Sarah, and I was born in Vancouver, and I have lived in Richmond for 19 years.
19, okay.
1997, that was the other day.
Really? Okay, you're in the lead so far.
yeah, I've got a few years in.
It's not meant to be an embarrassing exercise. No, just,
yeah, I was born in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And then came here and lived in Richmond for 39 years. Almost
39 years. Oh, okay.
Almost close to 40 years. A few months off of 40 years.
Wonderful.
And then I lived in North Delta for 5 years ago.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Did I say my name?
Tracy. thank you, Tracy.
It's like this, you know, your universe on this Hong Kong thing, which is just, I'm Esther Chen, Hong Kong. Yeah, I'm Esther from Hong Kong. Born in Hong Kong, I live in Vancouver, not Richmond. 21 years,
okay.
I'm Hope. And I was born in Montreal, and I've lived in Richmond since 1992.
Cool. Okay.
Your Hope. My last name is Love. Sean.
Yep.
And I've lived in Richmond for 14 and a half years.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
some of the numbers match up a little bit.
Yeah.
Close enough. For our purposes, close enough. David, could you introduce... we're doing our name, where we were born, and how long has Richmond been home?
Where were you born, Sean?
Born in Vancouver.
Oh, born in Vancouver.
I think the same place that you were born, actually.
Grace Hospital.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That was the place.
I
worked there.
Oh, I knew
you worked there.
Okay. Connections. Yeah, would you like to?
Let's see, born in Vancouver. And what was the other question?
How long have you lived in Richmond, and what's your name?
It's David Jones, and I've lived in Richmond since 94.
94, okay. Great, so yeah, different perspectives we'll bring from around the room. And so very much this is, I'm going to be presenting some research, some of perspectives that myself and a research team have come up with. And there's also some opportunities for discussion to talk about this. Richmond is not this detached place. It's a place we inhabit. We go to eat. We go to worship. We do different things in it. We live in it. So it's something for us to talk about. So what we're going to begin with, actually, is by getting you guys to think and talk a little bit. If someone had never been to Richmond before and knows nothing about the city of Richmond, and you need to describe them. So I want you guys actually to be a group of three, and four. And I want you guys to describe, what would you say to this person? What are some of the unique gifts and challenges that make Richmond different than any other place in the world, right? Every city has its own flavor, its own culture, its own demographic. What might you say to somebody who's never visited Richmond, BC? How would you describe it? So go to your groups and try to, we're only going to take about 5 minutes for this, so just get a few ideas going. Or maybe it's easier to tune two for you guys. I know it's hold on.
Two?
Okay. Okay, no, just what, yeah. Okay. Okay. Gifts and challenges.
Challenges. The first thing I would say, I think was my name. And just within the last 10 years, certainly within the last 10 years. I think location. I'm in the city by nature. The airport.
Like most cities, not really. Really a sunny
Interesting. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
It was like most cities are getting rapids. They're not sunny friendly.
So the great.
It's so called. And then the side, highway side.
Yeah. Which is sort of a, it's like a, it's a ghetto.
It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's
a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's
a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's
a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. It's a ghetto. Okay, try to finish up your last thought, and it's going to be great to hear from each other, so let's try to finish up our discussion. Okay, let's talk a little bit around the room. We're going to go group from group a little bit. So group here, what were some of the gifts or challenges you guys thought of when you think of Richmond?
That it's both gift and challenge, that it's predominantly Chinese.
Predominantly Chinese, okay.
So, you know, it comes with all these wonderful things with the culture and the food, But then it's a challenge because it's not really Canada, and if
you want
to speak or learn English, it's really quite difficult.
Okay, so I'm going to make a category for both, that kind of, right. Okay. So that stood out to you guys. Okay, what else stood out to you? Oops. The weather.
Because I'm from Ottawa,
Now, are you saying this is a gift or a challenge? Yeah, okay. Great. What about you guys? What were some of the, in the middle here, what were some of the things that stood out to you?
Well, we got on a kind of a coastal sea and waves theme, you know, it's kind of unique. It's an island. It's below sea level. And we had all of these waves of different groups come in.
like mm. we're Japanese. Somewhere mm. along the line, there was a lot of prairie people came here, we thought. And then there were Taiwanese waves, there was Hong Kong wave, there was mainland China wave, you know. Different, over time, different groups of people kind of came in, moved in. And on the it was farming area, like when I came here, it was there's cow, sheep, horses, chickens, all sorts of things on people's munching the grass in people's yards, and then there's like the dike, which is such a great place for walking, you know. And so it's quite diverse, you know, like with the fishing, the farming, and then it's also like we were also talking about the community side of things. It's a little bit hard to develop community in a place like this, partly because it's a commuter place, it's a bedroom. You know, you sleep here and you work in Vancouver or somewhere, you know, so many people commute to their work. And so,
okay.
It's not really a city. Well, it's not a big downtown. It's like a little focus. It's sort of all dispersed.
Okay. Great, great. How about you guys? Hope and Esther.
Yeah, well, something similar. I mean, the neat thing about Richmond, there are walking paths that is close to the water. And that results in cleaner air. A lot of people comment on, you know, the quality of the air is much better than some other communities.
Yes,
and it's close to the airport, which is nice. That's a good access to have in the community where you live.
Yeah.
And the city planning is pretty good. It's on a grid system, and you can get, you know, find your way around. Although people are coming from other parts of the region, they find it confusing.
Yeah.
But I think they find it confusing when they get off the main.
I get confused by those. Okay.
Of course, the traffic is pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's a thing everywhere, really.
As it grows, right.
And
okay.
There's a lack of high paying jobs, so people do have to commute to the city.
Mm. Okay, so financial.
Decline.
Housing and employment, right? Okay, great. Thank you so much. Sean and David, what were some of the things that came up?
Well, as noted, the geography matters. The delta with good soil, bounded by a very important river in Canadian history, two branches, the North Arm and the South Arm. At one time, Richmond won the best wheat in the British Empire. That was 100 years ago.
Best
Best wheat.
Wheat.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's such an award, I did not know.
Doesn't it? Come on.
There's quite a few countries in the British Empire at that time. So
it's an important point that there was quite a significant garden aspect to a garden city, but which is now gone.
Right.
Although I made a note here that from a decision that was made in the 70s with the Agricultural Land Reserve. Now, there wouldn't be any here except for that decision made in the 70s. I'm talking about urban planning. Some of it seems to reflect urban planning from the 70s, American urban setting. Families moving out because of cost. Still Old Steveston, that has some bearing, maybe East Hamilton too. We don't have kind of a blue-collar section of town, maybe at one time Steveston, but like the east side of Vancouver, it used to be Main Street, was to the east of that was the east side of the city that was blue-collar, and to the west of it was white-collar. That's disappeared now, but we don't really have that in Richmond. But poverty is creeping in, for sure, now. Mostly because of population, I think. But we don't have that kind of, like, that's an important point for us as a among many other things that a church is. How do we reach out in a sort of a social way? You know, when we first were, I said when we first started the church, we didn't need to have a kind of a soup kitchen approach to urban ministry. Now I am more flexible on that. Somebody I know is helps you run a shower ministry on Saturday mornings at St. Albans.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've backed off on that a bit, but there's nothing like the downtown east side here particularly, although there are lots of poor people. Mm-hmm. Or there are more than used to be. What else did I say? Oh, yeah, like most modern cities, it's not assembly-friendly, which is the neutral term for churches or synagogues, temples, except along the 5 Road.
Yeah.
But what is it somebody once said to me about Vancouver? It's a limited parking. It takes up parking, or it causes parking problems.
Yeah.
The tax revenue and, oh yeah, limited use of the building. So from a city government point of view, the fact that the spiritual connection is important to a city just vanishes. Puff.
Yeah.
So that's gone.
Okay, that's a good start. I'm going to have to jump in a little bit to make sure I get through it. Really, really good thoughts for everyone, and we're going to have a chance to reflect a little more deeper on that. So I guess my next question for you is why am I here even talking to you about this? Why is this not working? Recover my work.
It's good. We'll make yourself.
We will trust what's doing. Just not distract me. Let me introduce the folks. What's going on here? I got to take a class last year in which it was called Missional Leadership, and the group project of the class.
Called what?
Missional Leadership. And the assignment of that class was, oh, thanks so much, Sean, was to get 4 of us together to study a neighborhood. That is, it's really important to know ourselves and know the space we're in, because different things work in different places. You know, some of the things you don't even notice. No one mentioned public health care as one of the gifts of living in Richmond. But if you were to ask you around the world, you know, well, not unique to Canada, right? But if you talk to anyone around the world, the social benefits of things like that sound to you. So it's interesting that sometimes the water around us becomes invisible. And so this project gave us a chance to think about how do we contextualize, how do we do church in a place like Richmond, and what sort of challenge another, and what sort of gifts do we face. So what my group ended up producing is a sort of a 30-page report, and I want to share some of the findings from that and some of the demographics that we learned about Richmond and that, and some of our conclusions through that. Now, our group, 4 people, is very interesting. There's myself, who's a second-generation Chinese-Canadian. We had someone who was born in mainland China. Oh, crashed again. Wonderful. Born in mainland China, who came over. Her husband's pastoring a Mandarin-speaking church in Burnaby. And then we had a Korean-born man who's in his 40s now and raised his kids here, but was born in Korea. And he's pastoring at a church. And then we had a Caucasian American who had lived in California, Washington, and Florida, like the 3 corners of the states. And so it was the 4 of us walking around Richmond and just seeing, what do we see? What do we notice? One of them was an accountant also, so he helped crunch some numbers for us and things like that. So I want to share some of those findings. And I guess I want to preface by saying I'm not an expert in this. It was more an opportunity for the 4 of us to spend about 40 to 60 hours of human effort just looking, analyzing, and doing that. And we just hope to share some of that with you and to help the conversation. I know many of you, especially those who've been involved in this church for a while, have been involved in this conversation. It's not a new conversation. This is something we all live and breathe and are wondering about our home. Now, my slides have crashed 3 times in a row, which usually I take as a sign that I should probably just restart my computer. So we'll take a couple minutes to do that. We'll see. Maybe that's what's going on as well. The four questions that I've kind of crafted this whole thing around is, where are we? Who are we? What has gone wrong? And what is the solution? So just kind of 4 questions that help us understand our context. And if you ask anybody of any century, they're going to have a different answer for you, right? So if you ask someone living during World War II in Poland, how they're going to answer that question of where our geography, our identity, what are the challenges we face, and what is the way forward, is going to be a bit different in all these areas, as you can imagine. So we chose to study Richmond City Center. It's going to be a couple of minutes for the reboot. This is sort of a map of Richmond. Richmond City Center is kind of the middle, and it's very interesting. This church is located just on the southwest tip of it. They include, this one goes down to Glendale, so I'm just going to consider Granville kind of the south part of it. And I'll show you some demographics on the different neighborhoods after my computer reboots of what are some of the shifts that have happened in Richmond as a result. One thing good to know is, did anyone know when Richmond became a city? Some of you have lived here longer. It's quite recent. 1990 is when Richmond was actually was actually designated a city. So I want to put that in perspective. That is not that long ago as a place. And I think that's what is one of the most interesting things about Richmond, as we'll see, is the amount of change and what's happened and trying to capture what's going on. One caveat before I show you the numbers and charts is... as you know, with the census being cut out, 2011 was some of the best numbers we could look at. Now, the census relies on people responding to the census. And so take our numbers with the greatest salt also, because we realize Richmond has a lot of people who are transient who sometimes spend part of the year overseas. And we may have many people who don't know how to speak or write English. So if you receive, imagine you're in a foreign country and you receive mail you can't read. You know, so we wonder if some of our numbers, you might want to take that into consideration, that we may have underrepresented certain populations or groups, because we think realistically there's a chance we miss a lot of people in Richmond City Center, actually, with the best methods we have to capture what we can. And let me see if... Wow, I'm just still thinking about it here. We are back. Yes, okay, so those are our four questions. Where are we? So again, let's look at our neighborhood here. So this is Richmond City Center number 10 here. It's probably interesting, it's probably of all the areas it's had the most change to, which you'll see in a little bit, in terms of where we are. Okay, my slides are now out of order because of the crash, so I'm going to have to jump around a little bit to try to give a bit of perspective. It's Richmond in the last about 30 years has doubled its population. Again, just to give you an idea of the change. You'll see that some of us have talked about the immigration waves right before Hong Kong went back to Chinese rule in 1997, so you see a big jump there. Okay, so that's helping you kind of understand some of the numbers there. Here's the growth of the different municipalities in BC in general. What's really interesting, I'll point out, people talk about Vancouver growing a lot. In a way, not, because as many people leave, it's grown. So Vancouver actually has only grown 4.4%. Richmond is more than double that in terms of growth. Yeah. Okay. We see that with the rising costs, places like Surrey, New West, and Port Ruby, right, those are the very big ones. But those are significantly further. Richmond is one of the ones that's grown quickly, but it's still relatively close to everything. Mm-hmm. So this is just interesting to get us, again, in the frame of mind, but what's happened. And again, this is just the 2000.
Just by the way, sometimes I find it interesting that to look at the school budget, the Surrey school budget is by far bigger than Vancouver. So even though Vancouver's sort of got larger populations, been around longer, the school budget... whatever it is.
And North Vancouver, the Chinese school staff.
That's a measure of some.
Yeah, and I think you guys are picking up on an important challenge. Any of you who work in structured environments such as the school system, hospitals, will realize things move slowly in those areas, right? So population can move very quick. But how do the social structures, the parts of other parts of society, kind of catch up with that? Age characteristics. Richmond has a bit of an... aging, you'll see the highest percentage is 40 to 59, actually. And I think that's a bit of the history of a lot of families being present here. And we see largely married couples here as well.
Do you have any contrast with, say, the city of Vancouver and West End, by any chance?
No, I mean, given the amount of numbers we have to crunch, I can mostly present to you Richmond, and you guys will have to think in your minds what makes it a little bit interesting. In terms of education, about double the national average in terms of having a degree or a diploma. Mm-hmm. Richmond is in at about, if you add up these three numbers there, you're looking at, over 40% of the bottom three. And the national average is about 20%. So Richmond is attracting quite an educated crowd. Now, again, with immigration, you may have certain certifications overseas that may not translate over, right? You might be a doctor, engineer, lawyer. You might not be able to do that right away when you come here because of language or certification challenges. Transients. About 46% of people lived in a different place 5 years ago. That's quite something. Many, I mean, moved within Richmond, but several from other locations in BC and other provinces or from outside Canada. So, again, capturing just Richmond as a place in movement would be a way to kind of sum that up. Yeah. So that's sort of the where. You guys mentioned a lot of things already about the geography. Noticing where we are in relation to the airport, I think, is huge. And also around the Olympics, building the subway line. So all the estimates are is that the population is actually pretty much going to grow around the SkyTrain stations. And that's kind of the city planning of it, is that a lot of the housing is investing there. So us being located, again, if I go back to our map, of the fact that the SkyTrain runs through that means where we are as a church is going to continue to be one of the fastest growing areas. And I know my things are out of order, which is unfortunate, but I had one on actually the different neighborhoods of Richmond. Yes, here we are. Okay. So, that's ethnicity within the. Sorry. When PowerPoint crashed, it did not keep my changes from this morning, unfortunately. I can tell you about the chart, which is basically Richmond City Center of the different neighborhoods is by far the fastest growing and changing. A lot of the other neighborhoods have actually experienced pretty minimal change in terms of populations because there's families leaving and families going back into the same homes. This is where the towers are being built. This is where around the SkyTrain the population continues to rise. So that's a bit of where we are. You guys also brought up several things around geography. We're on the Pacific Northwest. We're on the Pacific Rim. So that also means for immigration or thing, people who want to be around the Pacific Ocean, we're one of the places, including, you know, Australia, Singapore, like kind of along the rim. And so Vancouver, partly because, you know, some people consider the Canada one of the best places to live in the world, is also part of understanding where we are, is understanding that we live in a very attractive place, actually. Look around, go hike in the mountains for a little bit, and you'll realize that there's a reason a lot of people love being here in general. Now, who are we? I want to move on a bit to the second question. I know there's a lot of information taken, but just kind of sit with it and see what things stand out to you, which doesn't. It's never easy to talk about ethnicity, and whoever made our charts decided to use the words Chinese and white. It's hard to know what terms to use. I would have preferred maybe European descent or Caucasian versus Asian descent or people of color, but take that with a grain of salt. We had several people with ESL working on our team, so our wording changes in different places, so just take that with a grain of salt. Let's think a little bit about who makes up the people of Richmond then. And some people brought up the large Asian population, and there you have Chinese sitting at 46%. We don't have a greater breakdown, but we'll show by mother tongue you get a sense of the different immigration waves amongst that. There's a significant Filipino population, which was a surprise to us when we did this research. We had no idea. And the places I go in Richmond, apparently Filipino people don't really go, so I haven't really, you know, had that overlap. In terms of Caucasian European descent, I mean, they kind of broke it up a little bit, but you end up with, I think, about high 30% or low 40s around there.
Does somebody become a Canadian?
Yeah, this is ethnic origin.
I'm second generation British because my mom was born in Britain and came over when she was 30 or 20, right?
This is self-identification.
Is it self-identification?
Yeah. So you do have a 8% Canadian.
Because you're second generation, would you say you're Chinese or you're Canadian?
And this is where it gets confusing, and that's why the numbers aren't perfect. So mother tongue is an interesting one, which I'll show you next. Top five mother tongue, right? So top five mother tongue, right? Of course. What's interesting is English is quite high there. So you would see if I lived in Richmond with my parents, we would probably identify the household as Chinese, but if you say, well, what are we speaking day to day, it would probably be mostly English. So, and that's where the numbers are a little jarring. And as immigrants have kids, those numbers start to shift, you know. So I think in Canada, people are more likely, well, actually most countries, I think for a while, people will identify as their ethnic origin.
Certain number of generations, or is it just, like, does Abby identify herself as American or Canadian? Like, it's just interesting, right?
Yeah.
She says, interestingly, to a girl that asked her, said, the girl said to her, your mom looks kind of Chinese. And she said, oh yeah, my mom's parents are Chinese.
Yeah.
Who are like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets very confusing.
What do you mean by Chinese? Yeah, yeah. No, so kids growing up in Richmond, are very culturally confused. I don't know what my culture is, which I'm like, you know, it's a very fascinating situation.
Actually, yeah. You have Chinese author. What's Chinese author? I know it's Mandarin and all Cantonese.
We looked at those two, but I guess it would be like Choisan, Shanghaiese, and stuff like that. But again, depending on how they feel about the form, I don't know the exact form. So.
Taiwanese?
Yeah, so Taiwanese would be in the group in there too. So. So it is a bit confusing. I mean, what's interesting, if you look at home though, the earlier Cantonese wave still has more people identify as that language. Mind you, again, take the numbers with a grain of salt. I think the Hong Kong Chinese who have moved here are here for good. Some of the other more recent immigrants maybe spend part of the time, year here, part of the time again. So, but this is just a point out how diverse it is. If you take one thing from here, don't, you know, zero in too much on exact numbers.
I know you speak English is the first language, but in another chart, the Chinese takes about 50% of the population.
That's right.
A lot of Chinese there is English speaking in the first language, the second generation.
Which you mean people like me, exactly. Yeah. I think a lot of the families who moved before 97 brought kids with them, and they have grown up in Canada, so the language is...
So those Chinese here, including second generation Chinese.
Yes, yes, exactly. So what's interesting is then if you, again, my slides are not necessarily in order here. Okay, so this is where we use the words Chinese and white. Is if you just look at the shift over the last 30 years, it's just, you know, this is what's kind of happened. And what's interesting is that the Caucasian European descent population has to stay the same, is actually dropped off.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's... And again, you can factor in, is it financial, is it cultural? Is it if you have trouble connecting with people in your city, do you leave, you know? And,
sell your house, and then you move a little farther away. A lot of people, as they retired and sold their house in Richmond, like that's what happened with my dad. Then you move to some place that's less, a little farther out and less expensive and whatnot.
That's not wrong.
So this is a really interesting, and one of the things we have to talk about around the WHO is just understanding the cultural makeup of Richmond, and understanding that, and what was interesting is our group did our studies, so there's four of us, right? There's myself, who's Chinese-Canadian, but I'm the most Canadian of the whole team. Right, relatively speaking. We had someone who could speak Mandarin fluently and understood the immigrant experience. She had been in North America for about 15 years, but spent about 20 years of her life prior in China. Then we have the Korean-Canadian, and then we have the American, right? So as we walked around, it was just so interesting to think about these challenges. So our American said, hey, take me out for food somewhere. So we sat in Abilene Mall to go for lunch. And he looked around and he said, how come I'm the only white person like in this food court? You know, what's going on here? And if you go to other parts of Richmond, I'm sure you guys know, then it's the opposite, you know? So if I go to, say, a No Frills, No Frills is more the opposite demographic. There's much more white people go to it, you know? And so these are awkward to talk about, but if you walk around Richmond, you notice these things, and, you know? And so we have to ask ourselves, well, you know, what's going on, and what does it mean for us? And I'll get a bit into that in terms of some of the challenges, but just to note that if you've been wondering about some of these kind of cultural, ethnic things, these are some numbers just to show a bit what's happening. A bit more about that in terms of destinations for recent immigrants. You'll see Richmond's quite high there. In terms of, this is what countries they come from. The purple is China. We have the Philippines, Taiwan, again, Hong Kong Special Administrative Region. We'll get a little bit into that. There's a lot of politics on this one chart. But you'll see for Richmond City Center, look at the growth there, okay, in comparison. You know, say the Gilmore, Sea Island, or, you know, Steveson, stuff like that. You see a lot of Chinese immigrants and actually a significant Filipino population living in there as well. Again, ethnically, what happens to Richmond as various people move in? You realize, a lot of information here. I would kind of focus in on Chinese, this column here, and then not a visible minority. So that's what they're now calling European descent, is not a visible minority. That's the words. So you'll see how this can vary so much. So if you look at Sea Island, you have 85% or 77% here, or what's that? I can point some of these bigger numbers out, okay? So here you see it's more homogeneous of one ethnic group. And then if you look at places like City Center, Visible minorities make up 81% of Richmond City Center.
So when you say non-visible minority, that's the vision?
Yeah.
Okay.
My apologies, I don't think that's a very nice title. I don't know that they were, They try to describe people, yeah.
We were just saying that actually now in Richmond, Caucasians are the visible minority.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just
that we're in the minority, and our skin tone is different from the majority.
That's right.
So we are the visible minority.
And we're going to definitely get into this because that's a huge one. So actually, this is actually the complete misnomer because in certain areas that doesn't mean what you think it should mean.
But the statistics Canada, which is your source, that makes
sense. Yeah.
Because you look at the whole Canada.
Yeah, looking at all of Canada. So here again, it shows, and one of the things we have that's worth noting about Richmond, and this happens in most places in the world, is ethnic segregation often happens, right? So if I'm moving somewhere, I don't speak English, I'm probably going to want to move in a neighborhood where things seem accessible to me. Mm-hmm. Just, I can talk to my neighbor, like, whatever. And so I think that's one of the challenges, especially of a first generation immigration, is how that plays out. So,
It's actually ethnic segregation becomes a coping mechanism. It's not necessarily, like, I think we always interpret that negatively, entirely negatively, but it's a coping mechanism for the new arrival. Absolutely, that's what I would want to do.
And I think also for a lot of people, say for instance from island nations like Taiwan and or like Taiwan and Hong Kong as well. They picked Richmond partly because it was similar to home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
Sort of similar geographically and you know, surrounded by water and flat and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I appreciate hearing that empathy because I think there's, you know, especially in light of a lot of immigration being in the news lately, there's it's how do we as Christians develop a perspective around that? And I think what both Tracy and Sean shared is a position of empathy and sympathy, which I really appreciate. If for those of you not from Chad, imagine if you were to move to Beijing next week and you had to choose a neighborhood to move into. Would you not go somewhere where hopefully your English is a bit useful? You know, hopefully there's some food you understand, right? So I think as Ben kind of preached in the sermon today about loving our neighbors, like this is helpful, as you guys mentioned, to put yourself in someone else's shoes and imagine, you know. So I think it's really great. So I think as we talk about what's weird about Richmond or what's unique about Richmond, you can't get away from the demographics. It's a city that's had a lot of change and it's attracted a lot of people for a variety of the reasons we talked about, you know, to be in Canada, to be located where it is, the beauty of the environments, and Canada has been a country that historically has had quite open arms. You know, I'm from Winnipeg, which we, per capita, take more refugees than any other city in Canada. And that's part of what makes us Winnipeg. We're like, yeah, we have a posture of open arms. But there are challenges. How do people from very different backgrounds, very different histories, languages, how do you actually get together a little bit? Our group mentioned, all in all, interesting thing about this chart, that Tracy mentioned. Let me just read this paragraph. All in all, the visible minorities are no longer minorities in Richmond, and which may have contributed to the so-called reverse bullying phenomenon at schools where white and other smaller ethnic groups become potential victims. This has come up in a few different places. I can provide some news sources later on. You may know the story of one of the Richmond condos that changed their strata meeting to being in Mandarin only.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you realize if you have been living there long-term and English is your mother tongue, you're suddenly disenfranchised and unable to participate in the conversation. Mm-hmm. There's been controversy over signage in Richmond, as you know. There's been different petitions. But the ethnicity is a challenging thing, and it takes time to integrate. So when we looked at that, we realized there's people petitioning, but almost the entire people in charge, the council or board or whatever, was almost all non-immigrants. So you have a lot of people who might not understand the immigrant experience making all the calls and a lot of immigrants coming in. So anyways, you just end up with strange imbalances where immigrants, and naturally so, aren't represented in the government. They just got here. They're still just finding the ground underneath their feet. They're not running for office and, you know, doing things like that. And so there's all these challenges to really understand each other and think about these dynamics and think about how do we love each other well? If God calls us to love, how do you do that intelligently in a place like Richmond, right? I talked about age. We talked a little bit about family. housing I'm not going to touch. Please look for an expert in that area. We looked at some of the numbers, and it is a little bit crazy. But you guys will have just as many life experiences. The other thing, as I mentioned, in that almost 46% of people had moved recently, I think is to note the transients of Richmond. Again, I think when we think about a city's flourishing and for God to do something in a place, it just takes time. I did want to read to you guys from Jeremiah. When God's people were in exile, that is, they were in a strange land, didn't understand what's going on, it would be easy just to disengage and just be like, I don't care about what's going on. But listen to what Jeremiah says that God tells his people to do. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles, that is, God's people at the time, whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the shalom, that is the good, the peace, the flourishing. Seek the shalom of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its shalom and flourishing, you will find your shalom and flourishing. So it's interesting. God says in these situations where it can seem like a lot of craziness going on, he almost tells them, do life. Do the things you would do in life. Set up a home. Plant things. Meet people. Build community. Build families and stuff like that. Okay, let's go forward to... So we looked at kind of our first two questions, which is, where are we and who are we? The third one is, what has gone wrong? And we've kind of touched a bit on these as I talk about this, on the ethnic challenges, the transience challenges. It's sort of the gospel question, which is for humanity, what is going on that is problematic. So in a way, when I'm going to answer this, there is the universal answer to this question, which is human sin and our lack of reconciliation of God into each other. Okay, but for the sake of this project, what we're trying to do is get more specific and think contextually. What exactly does that look like here? What is reconciliation to God and each other and building God's kingdom look like here?
This is Milton's four worldview questions.
I'm not sure. It might be. I got them from Christopher Wright, who probably borrowed them from somewhere else. Yeah, it's basically asking worldview questions. If you're living in Richmond,
so
how do you answer?
You're asking me in a more nitty-gritty than worldview.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. No, that's very helpful. It is a worldview. For us living out our lives, we all answer these questions already. It's just saying, how do we actually answer them and how might it be unique here? Okay. So Richmond City Center is not a big place. It's, you know, about a 10-block radius. That's it. If you're on a bike, it doesn't take you very long to get from one end to the other. Brian can probably tell us exactly. But what does it mean, and as we read this passage, what does it mean to seek the shalom, the flourishing, God's blessing and peace in this place? How do we imagine what that would happen? One of the challenges, I think, is around people's perspective of the place. As we went around, one of the places we went to was actually St. Albans, which is they provide a shelter, emergency shelter, showers and stuff like that for the poor. And we talked to one of the guys who has actually lived here for the last 60 years. And he showed us there's a prayer labyrinth out there. It's quite interesting, and it's not far from here, like 4 blocks from here or something. And what was interesting is when we started asking him, what do you feel about the changes in Richmond? And he kind of looked off in the distance, and he spoke very sadly, and he said, well, you know, now there's 23 high-rises, and, you know, things are not what they used to be. And he just kind of said that, and he was kind of sad about it. And what was interesting is that he had counted. He knew exactly how many high-rises had gone up, and for him, this was a great source of pain for him. And so these 23 buildings, and I want to just read this paragraph as... one of my team members wrote, which is just beautiful. The 23 buildings are a symbol of a complex legacy of forced social displacement within the city core of Richmond and surrounding areas. This legacy has historically operated on cultural and ethnic lines, though its mechanisms have differed. This repeated and rapid displacement over the last 150 years include First Nations, the Japanese fishing community, semi-rural Caucasians, and Hong Kong Chinese, and perhaps now whoever else is moving for financial and pressure reasons. So when my teammate heard this man share that, he says, this is the legacy of Richmond. As things have changed, people have fallen through the cracks and sometimes had to leave. And sometimes that's been along ethnic lines. So this is so meeting that man and hearing it gave us a bit of a window into some of the pain that some people in Richmond experience. And that pain ends up getting coupled with ethnic and racial things. So this is one of the...
But just, I'm very glad you just about flies under the radar there, but it didn't, is the rural displacement.
Yeah.
Right? What's the
semi-rural Caucasian populations, Hong Kong Chinese. So yeah, First Nations were here and then kind of charged out as things happened. Japanese fishing community were interned. Then a lot of Caucasian people who lived here as costs went up left. Then Hong Kong Chinese coming in, you know, mainland Chinese. And it's not to blame any one of these groups. It's to know that this is sort of the legacy of the place. And so how do we kind of deal with this? And I think blame becomes a very tricky thing. When we're upset, the easy thing that we want to do in our hearts is to find something to direct it at. And I think we have to be very prayerful and thoughtful as a church community how we do that. And particularly, I think what sometimes has been gone unspoken is how has Canada's government and immigration regulation, has that served us well, you know? And if in a democracy, we're supposed to be part of that, right? So how do we together as a church, but also as participants in Canada, contribute to this in a godly way?
There is another way to see that. Yes, people have been gone, but the other way to see it is Richmond has been incredibly welcoming to this influx of people.
But has there been a cost to that, Ryan?
There's always a cost to change, but change affects culture, and culture is, you know, everything is a blessing and a negative substitute. But I find Richmond amazing. Okay, but my legacy, I come from South Africa. I used to joke and say, I grew up in Africa as a visible minority. I came to Canada, so I wouldn't be a visible minority. I settled in Richmond. But the thing that I love about Richmond, and that I've always loved about Richmond, is the racial and cultural diversity and the relative peace. Remember, the first year I was here, I was trying to figure out what is the city, and there was a gang fight here at the River Park between some South Asians and some Chinese. And the very next day, the leaders of those communities were meeting at City Hall, and the problem went away. And I thought, I like that. It's not that you know that you don't have problems. It's that you have a community that's prepared to solve problems. Same thing with these racist leaflets that are coming on.
Yeah,
right? I actually see that as a positive thing, because this is probably coming from outside, or maybe some people who are affected that way. This is a backlash. But what they are going to find is that Richmond is incredibly strong because of its welcoming diversity.
Yeah.
So let's recognize the pain. But in a way, the pain is all in itself, right? Because the pain's going.
What did you say for that?
Let's recognize the pain, not the people who are leaving. But in a way, we can't solve that. We can't keep those guys. They're gonna solve the problem themselves by moving to a community which they find more helpful.
Mm.
The opportunity for us as a church is on the welcoming side. I was looking at the 20% of people that are flooding, and that's incredible. 20% of people from a foreign country.
Yeah.
And there's the opportunity for us as a church.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that perspective, Brian. And as you're saying that, I realize there might be sort of, I think there's sort of two meanings as a personality. I think some people, I'm more the nostalgic type, so change, I'm always slightly, you know. And what I'm hearing from you is a bit different posture than mine, which is, oh, change, you know. So I think sometimes the world, we maybe fall in, and maybe you identify with that, you fall into one of those two groups. And I don't think one is entirely wrong, but to either extreme, I think it can be challenging. And as we did this project, I think there were team members who were actually very worried about Richmond, and there were some team members who were quite optimistic. Both looking at the same data, same situation, but some are seeing, oh, this challenge is going to be very difficult. It's going to take decades or generations to solve. And other people were like, well, this is exciting. This is a mixing. So I think... And I think moving forward together as a church, it'd be helpful that we allow both voices to be part of that conversation. I think there are some people who may have experienced, you know, I know one particular family in Richmond who I would say is a little more in the, I don't know about this, all this change. I've lost a huge percentage of my neighbors in the last 10 years, and I don't know any of them. So my kids' friends are no longer there, you know. So there's some people in that place, and then I think there's some people who say, no, this is sort of a new future. This is multiculturalism happening in one of the places where it's probably happening better than most places in the world, you know? So in comparison, coming from South Africa, you would be able to bring that perspective of apartheid and how bad racial lines can go, you know? So, yeah.
But it's also a mess. Like, I have a Chinese neighbor. I had a Chinese neighbor. He just upgraded. So he moved into a new, much, much more expensive house. But, yeah. But he couldn't speak English. I can speak Mandarin. We had the best conversations over our back fence. With a lot of hand gesture. And I think that's what I find, my experience of new Chinese immigrants, especially from the mainland, is their willingness to work hard and integrate. They want their kids in the local school. We actually have people saying, I don't want my kids in that school, they're too many Chinese in that school. No, but I want my kids integrating and learning English. They need Caucasian friends. And
that's right.
I found that attitude much, much stronger than the attitude that says, we only want Chinese science.
So and Brian brings up something really interesting. Is amongst the Chinese population, there's a diverse opinions on how that's going as well, which I'll talk about a little bit. One of the challenges for churches specifically, and I remember talking to Catherine about this, is land. West of Five Road, it is, from what I hear, almost impossible to get land zoned as assembly unless you're a school. So if you are a church trying to plant in Richmond, you need to partner up with another church, or you got to use a school, and any land that gets freed up. So one of the interesting things I think, as we think about Christians, not just in our own church, is any church that's maybe ready to close their doors needs help. Like, we need a church to buy their building or something, because land lost in a place like Richmond is gone. So, and it's really interesting, talking to Catherine, the fact that, so Catherine works with Trinity Western, that fact that they're hosting some churches is a huge gift to Richmond, because that's actually a really big challenge. Because you have all these people coming in, and we need churches for them, right? But there's going to be the challenge to build them. So that's why you notice all those churches on east of Five Road, the reason they're there is because it's much easier to get the land zoned as assembly out there. So just one of those things of geography as well. Sean can tell you a lot more about geography than I can, so you can ask them about that after. A little bit more about the cultural challenges. We got to go to Richmond Caring Place, which is just two blocks that way, and they provide all sorts of services for people. And to bring up some of the language challenges that happen with immigration, you know, there was one area that did counseling for addiction. So families under stress are more likely to have health issues, addictions, things like that. And then we asked them, can any of your counselors speak Mandarin? And not a single one could. So here you have a team of eight counselors, and none of them would be able to help a mainland Chinese family. Whereas the population in Richmond City Center is about, as you saw, 50-60% Chinese. So there are a lot of challenges just in everyday social services that we might take for granted that will need help with that. And I think one of the things I'm really encouraged by is amongst our churches, the fact that there's mixing happening here. And I think that can serve as a light and an example to a lot of places where there's bad mixing happening or no mixing happening at all. So I think actually what we do every Sunday morning is an incredible gift to Richmond City Center, actually. I think there are a few things happening like that. So I want to encourage you guys to think of that way as we gather each Sunday, that something quite amazing is happening. I already talked about the transients. One thing our American team member noticed was that certain high-rises, if you look at the porches, there's no furniture. Now, if you own a porch and you live somewhere long enough, you start to make it home. And what we found was a really interesting observation that a lot of the porches on the high-rises have nothing. And we thought, if we're inviting people, can we invite them to be really invested in Richmond, to make this home, like we read in Jeremiah? And so that was just an interesting observation I thought I'd mention, which we asked the question, where is the porch furniture? So let me move on. I know there's a lot we can talk about. Let me talk very briefly about this. For those of you not super familiar with, I guess, Chinese history and what's going on, why do we need to call it Republic of Taiwan? Why do we need to call it Hong Kong Special Administrative Region? And why did Donald Trump get in trouble for a phone call to the president of Taiwan? Yeah, I don't know if you heard about this. Okay, my Chinese history is terrible. You guys can probably correct me. 60s and 70s, during Cultural Revolution, a lot of the government leaders fled to Taiwan. Okay, so the way the historic government of Taiwan, or sorry, China, ended up going there, 70s, 80s? 48. Thank you. Okay. Hong Kong, totally different story. British colony for 100 years, 125 years, right? Went back to China in 1997. So you end up with a really interesting thing, because the Cultural Revolution revolutionized everything here, but the old Chinese culture went out at different times. So you actually end up with quite different culture in the three different places, and sort of different speaking and writing, sort of, okay? I mean, Cantonese spoken here, right? More Mandarin here, although there's Cantonese in areas. And in Taiwanese, speaking Mandarin, but writing similar to Hong Kong, right?
The, yes.
Traditional, yeah. So, complicated. Just maybe know that groups from these different places have come to Richmond at different times, and that just creates different cultures and different demographics and different generations, okay? And historically, these three have not gone along. So, I remember one Sunday I was at the coffee hour, and I think I saw Melody and Maggie, who's from mainland China, and someone else talking, and I realized that's amazing, actually. That's building love and relationship where there's a lot of tension, okay? And because China has taken over those, that's why Donald Trump was not supposed to make a phone call to President Taiwan. The leader of the States has not been on an official phone call with the leader of Taiwan in about 40 years because China said, we're one country, you want to do any business, you go through us. So this is why there's a lot of problems. And even today, there are protests in Hong Kong. So I'm going to Hong Kong in a couple of months, or in a month, and I'm hoping to see there's been this thing called the Yellow Umbrella Revolution. And there are people who, as you can tell, you kind of feel like the little guy in this situation. And China and Hong Kong's relationship right now is quite tense of how that's going to work, how autonomous will Hong Kong be. So historically, these groups of people have not gone along. I think that's very important for us, for you to know in here.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about solutions. That was a really terrible 5-minute blitz of world history. what can and should churches do in this situation? And churches are the minority. The number of Christians in Vancouver, you know, we're at a very low percentage. So what do we do to not just be here, but to actually be a blessing to our communities? And I think, how do we be the church that is in the world and for the world? How do we be a part of this picture in whatever role God may be calling us to? Okay, let me skip over this. I'm just trying to think of time, what to do. One of our team members whose husband pastors a Mandarin-speaking church in Burnaby, what they decided as a church was to pick one high-rise and make that their area that they're going to love and get to know people. I think in Richmond City Center, we have to realize how dense it is. What used to be a church saying, we're going to try to love a whole neighborhood, you can just pick a high-rise now and essentially be trying to do the same thing. So what they did was interesting in their church is they had a couple members who lived in that high-rise and then kind of used them as an outpost to say, how can we love the whole building? So they started out by a monthly soup dinner. They just sent out flyers in people's doors and said, once a month, we're gathering people together, get to know each other. Because of the transience and language problems, there's a huge problem of alienation and loneliness in Richmond. You know, if you can't talk to your neighbor, if your neighbor's just changed, if you're new to the country, there's all sorts of things that could prevent you from developing loving relationships in the community that God has intended for us. So one of them is just being intentional and choosing a place to do that then. And this is keeping geography in mind. So not just be generic church, but let's actually think of what is a neighborhood where many of our church members live and we want to actually invest in and love, you know? Secondly, we need to move away from consumerism. Richmond is an attractive city, so a lot of people have come here out of attraction, out of consumerism. But God, remembering that God calls us to love each other and to become disciples who act like Christ in our neighborhoods. So that's a challenge for all of us, is to recognize that a lot of the changes that are happening in Richmond are not necessarily from a godly perspective. They're around money, they're around, you know, attraction. So the church has an ability to be a witness by living for something else. How can that play out? Depends how radical you want to be. I know several families in Richmond they rent out a room. You know, something as small as that. Well, anyone with a family knows that's not small. That's adding another person, another personality. But how do we do radical hospitality? If housing is a huge problem, are we willing to open our very doors to other people? And the same way God shows hospitality to us, we have the ability to show hospitality to others. Where might we want to sacrifice financially for our neighbors and our friends? You know, if we have church members who are financially struggling in the changes, and we are those with a surplus. When we think of Acts 2, are we actually going to think about literally opening up our pocketbook and helping one another in times of, you know, or maybe not directly in money, but, you know, giving away our things for young families to give away their cribs and clothes or things like that. In a city that's so driven by market value, we could do something completely different by being generous people. That generosity breaks that system of greed when people are simply generous to one another. Around ethnicity, and I'm very encouraged to hear a lot of you guys talk about ethnicity, I think in a very good way, is to recognize that God puts people together. He's not a God that divides people. If you're familiar with the New Testament, right from the beginning, the church had a cultural problem, Jew and Gentile. They talked differently, they ate different food, they dressed differently, almost anything you can imagine. In fact, they hated each other. And God said, you guys are meant to be my people together, and you need to learn to love one another and forgive one another. And that takes time and patience to do that. So if you have a neighbor you don't understand, it's going to be that much easier to get annoyed with, why do they do that? Why do they treat their lawn that way? How do we have that extra love from God to actually care for each other? And to know that God cares about ethnicity and race, it's not, you know, that's why the Bible talks about it a lot, whether someone's Samaritan, whether someone's Jewish, Gentile. And at the end of all days, God is bringing every tribe, tongue, nation, and people together. That's what God is doing, is pulling together. Now, a very practical one I wanted to talk about was, ethnic challenges, housing finance, talk about transients, governance. I think we can't over-spiritualize Richmond. We need to just be involved, like get on school boards, run for office, you know, love your neighbor, start up neighborhood associations. If you know the story of Vancouver, actually, what's helped preserve a lot of the Vancouver neighborhoods is neighborhood associations. Mm-hmm. People say, we want to have a voice in how we're going to nurture our community. So they're not just people there, oh, I just want this house just to be there. No, we want to. Steward what God's given as well. One thing, and I know we're running out of time, 12 o'clock, I want to bring up one thing we noticed, which is we're actually as a church located in an extremely, extremely strategic location. And I think we can forget that because Richmond's a car-driven city. We're the star here, okay? Right over here is Richmond Caring Place, where lots of immigrants go. A lot of people with all sorts of social challenges, unemployment, are going here. We have the soup kitchen, which is a little bit off the map over here, where people in need come. Right across from us, this is probably one of the most interesting gathering points of Richmond that I've noticed. I often study in Richmond Public Library, and that is the most culturally mixed place I've seen in Richmond. If you sit in that library for an hour, you'll be astonished by who goes into that library. There's a senior center here, a swimming pool here, people play hockey, there's people walking around this track all times of day. And so if we're in Richmond City Center, and if you want to know how to be in a place where people are at, we're right there. Like, it's literally across the street from us. This is a huge gathering point, and a lot of our families in our church already go there to drop off the kids for soccer, hockey, etc., for swimming. My parents are thinking of moving to Vancouver one day. I told them they should retire at the Senior Center because they're right in the hub of kind of everything. The library has books of different languages, groups, you know, all kind of gathered there. Yes, Tracy?
And the mall.
Yes, the mall. Yeah, that's right. The mall's right here, too.
I mean, not just for shopping, but for walking, and for doing Tai Chi, and for doing, like, line dancing in the hallways in the morning before the stores open up.
There's a few towers here. City Hall is right here. School board offices. So I think, you know, just don't overlook this. We're actually located in a really, really interesting spot. Mm-hmm. And we could be the church that could say to anyone we meet here, oh, yeah, we're across the street.
Yeah.
You know, in any of these places, we can say we're right, you know, across the street. So in terms of in practicing these things, obviously in our neighborhoods, in our churches, but I think in terms of outreach, again, the world's kind of gathering right here.
Well, and if I can just say, like, if you keep going up Minaroo Boulevard and you go up kind of one more screen, that's Trinity Western University campus. And Trinity Western, for its part, is bringing in
We're at, what, 250, 300 students now? 250 students, mostly from mainland China, are coming to Trinity Western. And Catherine Sason is the director of the campus. So, Catherine, welcome. It's good to have you with us. Yeah.
Are they all Christians?
Most
of the Christians. Most of the students. Yeah. No students. What's the percentage of students? About 99% from mainland China. And very small, even have an awareness of
Christianity.
Yes. They know they're coming to a Christian university and they have to study religion courses.
Oh. Yeah.
And some of them like it, some of them don't.
Yeah.
But it's a quick way for them to enter into the Canadian culture and society.
Yeah. No, that's great. Let me try to kind of wrap up what we've been saying together. There's obviously, you know, I've touched on a lot of big topics. A lot more can be said. I think you guys have a lot of you have already picked up on what are some of the things we do individually, you know. I think with the cultural differences, a lot of it's just talking with one another, learning about each other. Mm-hmm. What are the different challenges we go through? It's hard for Canadians to talk about cultural differences, so we'll be a little bit clumsy, but let's all have some grace for each other to know how do we talk about these challenging things, you know. And I want to read our closing paragraph of this, and then we're going to just pray together briefly. I want to let you guys go, but there's also a chance, if you guys want to stick around and talk about some of these things, I feel like there's a lot of people bursting with ideas here, but trying to contain it because we're out of time. And that is, the interesting thing is that we need God for everything, and yet God has also given and stewarded us a lot at the same time. I think that's sort of the mystery of being human, is that we depend on God for everything, yet God has given us the stewardship and ability to be an influence in our neighborhoods, our families, our workplaces, and schools. Mm-hmm. And so it's that challenge of taking all these strategies and seeing the wisdom and wanting God to work through them, and also us turning to God and asking for his help in all of this. Let me read kind of our closing paragraph. We're going to pray and look at one scripture. And this is what kind of pulls it up together. Studying Richmond's city center has been a rich journey for each of us in the group to participate in. What began as a relatively emotionally disengaged study has resulted in our hearts being stirred through the stories, sights, and sounds and smells of Richmond city center. As Jesus lamented over the city of Jerusalem, we have observed Richmond city center as having much sheep without a shepherd, from Matthew 9. Rapid transitions have led to many challenging barriers to shalom and relational connection, whether to God or one another. In short, we have observed actually many dehumanizing forces at work in Richmond City Center. Our hope is not to discourage, but to accurately portray a neighborhood in need of the love of God and neighbor. And we pray that God would continue to work. This is actually an incredible opportunity in Richmond City Center. But ultimately, our hope does not reside in these strategies apart from the true reconciling work of God that reconciles humankind to God and humankind to one another. Though the dehumanizing forces within Richmond City Center may appear overwhelming, we recall with thankfulness the power of God, knowing that God has not forgotten Richmond City Center. So churches like us in Richmond City Center are both a result and an instrument of the great act of reconciliation done by God himself, orchestrated throughout all time. As Mother Teresa has said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Mm-hmm. I thought, as we think about being in Richmond, that we could pray the Lord's Prayer together, and then I'll close us with a scripture, and that we would ask God for his help at this point, recognize him as our Father, and we ask for his kingdom and will to be done, including here in Richmond. So let's pray together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And about this power that we get to rely on, who's been at work throughout all generations in the church and in Christ Jesus. This is Paul, as he thinks about what God's done throughout time. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, regardless of cultural background where they're born, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much.